This message is part of the educational ministry of Columbia International University. We've been preparing world Christians to know Him and to make Him known since 1923.
I want to share with you today on a topic I call Following God is Filled with Surprises. Following God is filled with surprises. I have been following Him for 40 years, and if there's one thing I can guarantee, that's the truth. I have four wonderful children, three sons and a daughter, and my daughter is my princess. She's 23 years old, and she is a missionary with YWAM. Any YWAMers here? Oh, we need to get some YWAMers here. It's a wonderful youth with a mission, a great ministry. My daughter, when she was in high school, she always used to say, "Dad, you really intimidate my friends. Just tone it down." And I'm just standing there not doing anything. Said, "Dad, you're just so intimidating for my friends." Any of y'all have a dad like that? Maybe a mom? When you look at us board members, maybe you have the same feeling. Wow, these are an intimidating group of people. Well, we may look intimidating on the outside, but we're soft and fuzzy on the inside. And we have hearts that bleed for this school. And so what I thought I would do this morning is give you a little journey into my heart, the heart of one of the board members of your great institution. We don't get paid to be on this board. We do it because of you and you and you and you. The reason we are here is for you. I went to CIU. I graduated from here in 1974, met my lovely wife, Donna, here, right in front of this building. We've been married for 36 years, have four wonderful children, four wonderful grandchildren, two awesome daughter-in-laws, and all my kids in my 20s. And you know what the most precious thing going on in my life today is? Every one of those kids are walking with Jesus. Is there anything more important for a parent? And I just thank God for the work that He's done in all my kids. And your parents perhaps have the same dream for you. I went on to Dallas Seminary, then got my doctorate at Fuller, and joined World Venture, a wonderful mission organization, 31 years ago. And I've had the joy of, first I was a missionary in Eastern Europe during the days of communism. Y'all ever heard of the Berlin Wall? Anybody here ever heard of the Berlin Wall? Well, I was there the day the wall came down in November of 1989, before a lot of you were born. A lot of people say 9/11 changed the world forever. Well, 11/9 changed the world as much as 9/11. November 9, 1989 was the day the Berlin Wall came down and freedom came to Eastern Europe. And what a joy. One of the greatest experiences of my missionary life was to be at the wall that day. I call it history's greatest prison break. It was amazing. And in my office, I have a piece of the wall that I got that day. That's, what, 22 years ago. And I have the little verse of scripture from John right below the piece. And it says, "Open your eyes and look at the fields. They are white for harvest." You see, when the wall came down and communism fell in Eastern Europe, all of a sudden freedom broke forth and we had a huge new opportunity to reach the world. Well, about 20 years ago, I was kicked upstairs to the home office, and I have been CEO of the mission now for 19 years. And God increased my horizons from Eastern Europe to the world. I've had the opportunity to travel to over 100 nations, and the greatest joy in my ministry today is to go on fruit inspection tours. And I go around and I visit our missionaries and I say, "Let me meet your fruit." Because Jesus said, go and do what? Make. He didn't say, by the way, make decisions. He said, make disciples. Go and make disciples of all nations. And by your fruit, you will know them. He said, go and bear much fruit, fruit that will remain. And I love to go and inspect the fruit because that's what missionaries are supposed to do. They're supposed to bear fruit. Some missionaries bear a lot of fruit because they're in places in the world that are very responsive to the harvest. Other missionaries that we have in the tough countries, it takes a long time to bear fruit. I had the joy 17 years ago to be asked to serve on the board of CIU. And what a joy it's been to be on this board for these 17 years. So no matter what you think your path is going to be, I'm going to tell you this morning, it will not be. Whatever you think your life is going to be, and I know a lot about people your age, and a lot of you, long-term thinking is 3 years, right? But I guarantee no matter what you're thinking your life is going to be, it will not turn out that way. Because following God is filled with surprises. And the scripture I want to share with you today is one verse, Psalm 32:8. Psalm 32:8 is the prayer I pray most often in my life. The promise is, I will instruct you and teach you in the way in which you are to go, and I will counsel you with my eye upon you. What a great promise. I will instruct you and I will teach you. And I'm not sure the difference between instruction and teaching, but it says very clearly, I will instruct you and I will teach you in the way in which you're to go. And then it says, I will counsel you with my eye upon you. He says he will keep his eye upon us. Do you know that his eye is upon you? And one of the translations, it says he will keep his loving eye upon you. Is that cool or what? Is that amazing? I will instruct you and teach you in the way in which you're to go, and I will counsel you with my eyes upon you. Well, I just wanted to share with you real quickly the five amazing surprises of the many surprises that I've had in my life following God for 40 years. The first surprise is my conversion. I grew up in a non-Christian home. How many of you are from non-Christian homes? I understand your struggle and your pain. And I went away to the University of Alabama in Tuscaloosa, a very lost hippie in 1969. A lot of amazing things happened in 1969. It was the summer that we landed on the moon. My father was one of the German rocket scientists in Huntsville, Alabama, and they built the rockets that put us on the moon in 1969. It was also the summer of Woodstock, and it was a summer that I was stoned the entire summer. In fact, we tried to get to Woodstock, and we got in our car. I had a little Volkswagen bus, of course, and we got in our bus, and we headed to Woodstock, and we got as far from Huntsville to Charlotte, North Carolina, and we were so stoned that we checked into a motel and had our own little Woodstock. We never quite made it. It was also the summer that I went away to the University of Alabama, and my desire at Alabama was to do one thing, follow the desires of my heart with reckless abandon, with no parents telling me what to do. So I went away to college. I moved out of the dorm. My father was sending me money. That was before electronic communication, so my dad sent me checks, and he had no way of tracing where that money was going, and I had dropped out, and I was spending the money on things I shouldn't be. And a group of four Christians took me on as a project. And they literally, over a period of 6 months, loved me into the kingdom of God. They said, Hans, do you know that God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life? And I said, you have got to be kidding. And you know what got to me about those four Christians? The peace in their hearts. Jesus said, I will give you a peace that surpasses all understanding. And when I looked in their eyes, they did none of the things that I was doing to try to find fulfillment, and yet they were the ones that were fulfilled. And so I gave my life to Jesus in January of 1970. One of the great surprises of my life. Goodbye, drugs. Hello, Spirit of God. Wow, it was amazing. That was the first big surprise. The second big surprise was coming here to Columbia International University. There was a president here back in those days, Robertson McQuilkin. And Robertson, I think you all know Robertson. I remember he told me years later, when you first landed on this campus, I never thought there was a way in the world that you would graduate. Not because you weren't smart, but because you were too radical for this environment here. But I did survive, and I did thrive, and I did graduate, and those were blessed years. What a surprise to come here. And by the way, my parents were very disappointed when I came to CIU. Now, I was not in open rebellion against their wish for me to come here, but they said, Hans, you're throwing away your life. You could be so much. Why are you throwing your life away for this religious thing, this Christian thing? You know, don't be overboard about this Christianity thing. And they didn't understand, because natural man cannot understand the things of the Spirit. They are foolishness to him. And my parents were so upset. You could be a doctor, you could be a lawyer, you could be a successful business person or a whatever. Isn't that interesting how the world thinks if we follow Jesus and serve him, we're somehow not successful? Of course that's what the world thinks. Because we live in an upside down kingdom. By the way, the end of that story is my parents are both dead. And the last time I talked to my father, it took 20 years after I came here. And when he died, you know, it's amazing how death changes your perspective about life and eternity. And the last conversation I had with my father, he said, "Son, I am so proud of you because now I understand what your life is all about. Because you are trying to make the world a better place, and you are trying to prepare people in this world for the next world." Wow, that was the most precious thing. Talk about closure when my father said, "I'm proud of you." And the last thing I said to my dad, and by the way, I had one of those relationships, maybe some of you had, where we had no intimacy and no conversation between my father and I. He was a wonderful dad who provided for me, but there was no intimacy. So it was very hard for me. I never heard him say when I was growing up, "I love you, son. I believe in you." Never, ever. So the last thing I said to my dad is, "Dad, I love you." Whew. That was hard for me. If you haven't done it, you better do it. "I love you, Dad, and I'm so proud to carry your name." Second great surprise was coming to this school, and it changed my life. A lot of things happened in this room. Three huge things happened to me while I was at CIU, and they all start with M. And, you know, I know you guys don't like alliteration, but it's for me an easy way to remember. I got to know my master. And the greatest thing that Columbia did for me was my relationship to Jesus Christ. And all these years later, that's what we still love about this school, the spiritual campus. I got to know my master. I met my mate, Donna, which was cool. There's hope for some of you, in case if any of you have that on your agenda. And I found my mission in life. In this very room, for the first time in my life, I heard missionary speakers. I'd never heard that there were really missionaries when I was growing up. I always thought missionaries were like dinosaurs. You know, once upon the time, they had roamed the surface of the planet, but now they were obviously extinct. And all of a sudden, I come here and I start hearing real live missionaries right on this stage telling tales of adventure in faraway places. And one day, there was an invitation to come forward. If you're willing to give your life to the Great Commission, no matter where God calls you, come forward. And I did in this very room, and God called me to missions. Now, the call was not, "Are you smart and are you able and are you capable? Are you gifted?" No, the call is this: are you willing? I meet so many amazingly gifted people who are not available and willing. So that's really the question: are you willing? And I said, "Lord, I'm willing." And so that's the third great surprise that happened to me. I got involved in the Great Commission. I got involved in missions. And after I graduated from Dallas Seminary, I was a pastor for a couple of years. And then in 1980, 31 years ago, I joined World Venture. At that time, it had another name, but today we're known as World Venture. And my wife and I moved to Vienna, Austria, and we began an amazing adventure, and God gave us a promise. And I would challenge you, when you're making big decisions in your life, ask God to give you some scripture as a basis for the promise and as a basis for the challenge that you're going to follow, no matter what your calling is. And he gave us Matthew 16:18. Matthew 16:18. Jesus said, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." And what that means to me is, no matter what Satan erects as a barrier to the gospel, it cannot stand. And today, Eastern Europe is no longer a barrier. Well, actually, it's a new barrier. You know, communism is gone, but materialism has taken over Eastern Europe. And we have the Muslim curtain today, much more formidable than the Iron Curtain. But the promise of Jesus is, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not be able to stand against it. Here's how I define, by the way, to me, my life in these 40 years has been a long chain of yeses. You know, I made that decision that day in this room right here, but that was one yes. And one yes is not enough to carry you through. The Christian life is a long chain of yeses. And as long as you keep saying yes, he'll keep working with you. And he will provide. And he will give you what you need to follow through on that yes. Here's how I define the call. You know, some people say, well, that's kind of an old notion that's outdated, a call. But I happen to believe in a call on your life. And here's my definition, very simple. The call of God is to follow the most compelling of many options at any cost. To follow the most compelling of many options at any cost. I got news for you. There is no dot. Some people get so obsessed about finding the perfect dot, meaning exactly, God, what you want me to do. And guess what I have found? There are a bunch of dots. It's almost like a road. And if you stay within the road, he's pleased if you do A, B, C, D, or E. He really is, in my opinion. Now, when I look back in the rearview mirror, I see God's perfect will for my life. But as I look out the windshield, I realize God is asking me to stay on this highway and to follow the most compelling of many options, and that's what will happen. And I know a lot of people today are frozen by too many options. And if there's one thing I've heard about your generation, which I happen to love, is that all your life you've been told you can do anything. And that's confusing because there are so many options, it's hard to focus on one. You have to eventually choose a direction. Following God, the most compelling of many options at any cost. The option that pulls your heart the most, that gets you the most pumped up and excited. And oftentimes that option is the scariest because the price is the greatest. Please follow the most compelling option at any cost. It's worth it, I promise. It's not easy, but there's nothing greater than being in the center of God's will. So the surprise of missions. The fourth surprise was to come on this board 17 years ago. It was a big deal for me. And I live in Denver, Colorado, so I fly here three times a year. And I really love coming here. Because, you know, all these years later, I still sense the same thing. I love what CI did for me, and I love what it's doing for you. And I serve on this board so that we will preserve that. You know, what is a board supposed to do? To me, one of the most important roles of a board of directors is protection. To protect the institution, the school, to make sure we don't drift away from that which is best about us. Now, we change things all the time, and change is my middle name. I'm a change agent. But we as a board try to make sure that those fences don't get broken down. And I am so happy after all these years, the fences have not broken down. I could just list you so many things that have changed, but the core has not changed. By the way, the other really important role of the board is to protect and support the president of the institution. Is Dr. Jones even here this morning? Oh, he's in big trouble. I cannot believe he's not. He's probably some important meeting somewhere. But I just want you to know that we love our president, and we're just so excited about what he's doing for this school. Give it up to Dr. Jones, will you? We are here for him to make him successful and to be his wingmen and to get his back. The fifth great surprise for me, the final surprise, was leadership and missions. I never really aspired to leadership and missions. I just wanted to be a missionary. But lo and behold, the board of directors, my board, asked me to be the leader. So for 20 years, I've led the mission. And it's been an amazing opportunity to see the world and to improve my own leadership. And I happen to believe in Revelation 7:9. It's my promise for my leadership and for world venture. You know Revelation 7:9, one of the great mission verses. After this, I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. I believe this is true, and this is a picture of heaven. And Jesus said, one day there will be a gathering people from every nation, every tribe, every people, every tongue, and that is the passion of World Venture. We work in about 70 countries, some of the countries you're interested in, we work in. We have about 600 missionaries, and by the way, Brian and Renee Davis are here today. Raise your hand. And Brian, stand up, let them see your beautiful faces. Brian and Renee, our World Venture folks, we have a display. They'll be around all day to talk to you if you're interested in finding out more about this great mission. We would love to have you consider us. By the way, I just added a sixth surprise, which I hadn't counted on. This summer, I decided to leave my position as president of the mission. I just turned 60 years old, and most people, you know, that's not really retirement age, so I'm not retiring. But God showed me it was time to move on to bigger and better things, and it was time to make way for young leadership. And I'm just amazed at this journey that God is leading me on. You know, sometimes leaders stay too long, and they hang on too hard, and their effectiveness wanes and their passion decreases. If you ever get to that place in your life, and you will, let go and move on and follow your heart. This summer, God said, Hans, I want you to follow your heart. I have new things I want you to do, and you've done a great job in your leadership, but it's time to make room for the Joshuas and the Calebs, because there are giants in the land that I really don't want you to fight. We need young, fresh leadership to fight those giants. So that's a huge surprise that's happening in my life right now, and it's pretty exciting. Well, let me finish by three applicational principles. Again, Psalm 32:8, I will instruct you and teach you in the way in which you are to go, and I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Number one principle, follow the most compelling of many options at any cost. You will have options. Follow your heart. Follow your passion. Follow your dream. Got any dreamers here? All right, I love dreamers. I'm a dreamer. Follow your dream. Follow your heart. Follow your passion. One of my best friends, Craig Weaver, is 55 years old, and he's been wanting to be a missionary his whole life. He was a businessman. He had like a 25-year detour, and he just sold his house, and he just sold his business, and he's moving to China as a missionary. First time, 55. Is that cool or what? Don't wait till you're 55 to follow the most compelling of many options at any cost. Number two applicational principle, prepare for surprises every step of the way. Prepare for surprises every step of the way. And application principle number three, keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. When I was a brand new Christian at the University of Alabama, and I started following Jesus, I became a Jesus freak. That's what they called us back then, a radical for Jesus. And it wasn't long before I started getting really disillusioned with the lack of commitment of the Christians around me. I mean, we were demonstrating against the war. We were having riots. We were just in the middle of a revolution. And all of a sudden, I found the real revolutionary. And I was disturbed that Christians didn't have the seriousness that all of a sudden I had. And I almost made a life-critical mistake by keeping my eyes on Christians. Don't keep your eyes on Christians. Keep your eyes on Christ. Hebrews chapter 12. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off every hindrance and the sin that so easily entangles us. And let's run with perseverance the race set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus. In this journey, Christians will let you down. Oh my gosh, I could tell you hours of stories of people that have let me down and hurt me in my 40-year journey following Jesus. Christians can be some of the harshest people on your life, not the non-Christians. Did you know that? So keep your eyes on Jesus because He will never disappoint you. Recently, I wrote my daughter a letter. She was having a lot of frustration with her teammates at YWAM. They were on this trip around the world, 10 girls. And you know what it's like when you're traveling together and country after country and all the culture shock? I actually got out a piece of paper, yellow pad, and wrote her a letter. I heard this year that the post office says people get one personal piece of email a week now. So I decided for maximum impact, I was going to write it down on, I'm super electronic, but I wrote it down on paper, folded it, put it in an envelope. You ever heard of an envelope? And I put a stamp on it and I mailed it to her. And here was my message. I'm so proud of you and what you're doing and your accomplishments. And I just want you to know, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, keep your eyes on Jesus. Sweetheart, they will disappoint you and you will fight with your colleagues, but keep your eyes on Jesus. Thank you all very much. God bless you.
We hope you were blessed by this message. Additional audio messages and learning resources are available at www.ciu.edu/bookstore or call 803-807-5263. Messages are also available by podcast at iTunes. CIU is a regionally accredited biblical university offering undergraduate and graduate degree programs. Our purpose is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for letting us minister to you today.